Christopher, tell us about the evolution of lost technologies of ancient Egypt. How did this happen for you?
Well, the evolution of lost technologies, really, I would go back to the 1986. I was at the Open Air Museum at Memphis, which is a few miles south of Cairo.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as odd that as I was looking down the length of the Ramses statue, the left and right nostrils on the statue, on the nose, were identical mirror images to each other. And it's always been my understanding, and certainly true in my case, that no adult has identical nostrils. So this was significant to me at the time, and it stayed with me for quite a while. Now, after the Giza power, of course, at that time in 1986, I was doing studies of the Great Pyramid. I was more interested in the engineering of the pyramids than I was on statues or temples, and
right.
I really didn't travel south to the temples at Luxor, Dendera, and other places in the southern Egypt, but I stayed around Giza and was studying the Great Pyramid and other pyramids. But that kind of stayed with me. Then, after the Giza power plant was published, I entered into quite a few discussions about the theory of the Giza power plant and also some of the other information that I brought out in the book, particularly the crafting of hard igneous rock like granite and diorite. And I brought into the book a chapter that was entitled Advanced Machining in Ancient Egypt. There was discussion, there was debate. Some people disagreed with my conclusions. Other people thought they were interesting and felt that further research needed to be done. But there were some people that actually thought that I'd gone too far with the Giza power plant theory, and that the evidence of advanced machining, craftsmanship in ancient Egypt was more powerful a subject, because the theory really could not be proven false or proven to be correct unless you actually build another pyramid.
Right.
And demonstrate it. So the theory is just that. It's a theory. But the capabilities of the ancient Egyptians to craft hard igneous rock to a high order of precision and geometry, that is something that is factual, and it is very, very strong and powerful evidence. So that really weighed into my decision to write a book about simply the craftsmanship of the ancient Egyptians and the tools that they would have used.
Were you in awe with the craftsmanship?
Oh, George, let me tell you. A visit by an engineer, and I've known many engineers that have traveled to Egypt and gone to and walked around the pyramids. I've taken engineers to Egypt and had discussions with them at the pyramids in the north, at the temples in the south, and further south at the unfinished obelisk. And it's always the engineers that end up with a certain amount of humility and awe about what the ancient Egyptians were able to accomplish. You walk through the temple at Luxor, and you're walking between two giant statues about 45 feet tall, weighing 600 tons, perfectly crafted, and a solid piece of granite, solid pieces of granite. And then over there, on the west bank, you have the Ramses statues, the colossi of Mammon, and they are absolutely huge, about 1,000 tons weight each. And you see the way that they are cut and the order of precision with which they are cut. It is awe-inspiring. I'm always awed by it, as many other people are.
Sorry? No, go ahead. No, I want you to finish.
Well, because I always look at it from the point of view. Well, how would I create something today? And really, that is the cornerstone of lost technologies of ancient Egypt, and that is to throw the challenge out to whoever wishes to pick up the challenge. To throw the challenge out that, you know, we as lay people, we're not Egyptologists. I'm not an Egyptologist. I've watched so many documentaries by different presenters, with Egyptologists being involved, and also other disciplines, that try to teach us how the pyramids were built, and they demonstrate using the most simplest of tools, but they never describe the most difficult aspects of the work, nor do they replicate the most difficult aspects of the work. So it was my intention to present to the reader the evidence that needs to be explained before we can say, okay, I know now how advanced the ancient Egyptians were. And it is stunning when you look at the full scope of the work, and particularly the statues. The statuary is simply amazing. And there is a YouTube video. It's on my website. I think it's on Coast to Coast from
Asia.
Yeah,
now.
And essentially, that little video is a little clip. Shows the symmetry of the Ramses bust at Luxor. And to collect those images, I actually traveled to Egypt three times because I needed to get a digital photograph of the highest quality, but one that was dead center to the center line of the head of Ramses, because I wanted to test it for symmetry. In other words, check one side of the face to the other. Again, remembering the time when I was at Memphis and looking down the Ramses statue and noticing the nostrils being identical, I detected that not just the nostrils, the entire nose, the jawline, and the eyes were perfectly symmetrical one side to the other. Now, what does that mean in a manufacturing terms? Well, for precision, to demonstrate something is perfect.
It's perfect.
Perfect.
Right?
Yes, you have to have a measurement. You have to be able to measure it with a standard. And in the case of the Ramses statue, the standard by which we measure the accuracy is one side of the face, and so we measure the other side of the face against the opposite. And when we have a condition where both sides of the face are perfectly the same, then we know that we have something that was intentionally crafted with extreme precision. And that's what that little video demonstrated. It also shows that they had a system of measure. They must have had some kind of geometric scheme or protocol that they were using in order to transfer information from the designers to the craftspeople to the theorized machines that were necessary to actually control the tool as it cut the statue. And this geometry is amazing in and of itself, in that it incorporates the 3-4-5 triangle, though the 3-4-5 triangle was first described by Pythagoras. It was known by the Egyptians, and they encoded it in the Ramses statue.